The Repertory Theater of St. Louis began its new season, its 51st, last night. A few days ago, contributor Steve Potter spoke with the Rep's artistic director, Steve Wolf, about this year's season. Since that interview, Wolf announced that he will retire in 2 years at the conclusion of the 2018-2019 season. Wolf has been the Rep's artistic director since 1986 and has had a lasting impact on local theater in St. Louis. We'll talk with Steve Wolf in the coming months about that legacy, but now, here's Steve Potter.
On the Rep's main stage, the offerings include a Shakespeare masterpiece, a feel-good musical, and two Tony Award winners. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air, Steve. Good to see you.
It's great to see you. Glad I could do this.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess last year, you know, the Rep's 50th season, I guess that was the big milestone.
Well, yes. I mean, for an institution like ours to hit 50 and still be going is great. And, I mean, now we're into the 51st season and carrying on sort of what we started in the 50th. I mean, Hamlet's sort of a perfect example. It's a show we couldn't fit.
You've never done that before.
And we have never produced it in 50 years of theater. And I thought it's time to do that.
Should I ask why?
No, I don't know. I mean, it takes a lot of cast and a director that is really tuned to it. And Paul Mason Barnes, who's directed a lot of Shakespeare for us, Midsummer Night's Dream a couple of years ago, was just amazing. And Paul knows how to work on this text, so he's keeping it. This is not a four-hour version of Hamlet. It's a three-hour version.
But that's long for the Rep.
It's long for anybody.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah.
but the story is so good,
Well, it's two. The main stage and studio theater are really two totally different experiences. Maybe could you talk just a little about that?
Well, the main stage
that?
Is the big room. It's 750 people, and it's a 280-degree thrust theater. And so we do work that sort of fits the room in a way. The studio theater is about 130 seats. We never know when we start. It's a total flex room. So where the seating is, where the performance, where the stage is going to be, changes show to show. So it's sort of exciting. Every time you go down in there, you don't quite know what the physical arrangement's going to be. So it's very exciting down there.
All right. We're talking about the season for the Repertory Theater of St. Louis. It begins with The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. And that's a curious title.
Yes. Well, yes, it is. Actually, the title comes from a short story, Arthur Conan Doyle Sherlock Holmes story, where Sherlock turns to another detective and he says, and you need to look at the curious incident of the dog at the nighttime. And the detective said, what's the incident or what's curious? He said, the incident. And that's it. But anyway, so that's the title. It's a very,
well, this is about a 15-year-old detective, though.
Yeah, a 15-year-old that goes on a detective search to find out who killed the dog in his next-door neighbor's lot. He wakes up one morning and finds the dog is dead. It's not his dog, it's the neighbor's dog. And he goes off on a journey. He lives in Swindon, he's about 80 miles outside of London, and navigates himself on the trains and then the tube to get to London.
What I don't understand, he's a smart kid, but I shouldn't say something's wrong with him.
No. In common parlance, you would say he's high-functioning autistic. But what's interesting is Mark Haddon, who wrote the book, never used those terms. It was used on the cover of the book. So Christopher reacts strongly to input and outside signals. He is a math genius. When he finds the dog dead, his desire is to find out who killed the dog. And he's, because his mind is so focused, he goes on this track to do that. It's a story full of heart. I will say this, if somebody listening to us saw the production in New York or in London, it was full of technical dazzle, computer graphics and video and animation that was memorable and unique. We can't do that. That concept belongs in the National Theatre of London. So our production will look different. We don't have any computers. We don't have anything projected. It is Christopher's story, and it's acted out by him and other people who are the faculty of the school he's going to, but they take they become characters in his story as he goes to London to figure out what's happened.
That's The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, opening the season on September the 6th, then October 11th. You mentioned it before, Hamlet, and I guess the classic tragedy?
Classic story, yes. With you know, and if you haven't seen it or read it in a while, you all of a sudden think, oh, that's where that line comes from. I mean, what Shakespeare wrote in that, it's part of our common day vocabulary. But the story of Hamlet trying to figure out who killed his father.
Can you give an example of common day vocabulary?
To be or not to be. Say it all the time. Major monologue. Major story. Hamlet has seven major monologues in the show.
Soliloquies. Right.
And to be or not to be, say, oh, right, that's really famous. If you know the musical Hair, the song about the atmosphere and the great canopy of stars is in Shakespeare's story. They reorganized the lyrics some in Hair, but it's in Hamlet.
Mm-hmm. Is it challenging to do, as opposed to your first production, is it challenging to do a show like Hamlet that can be so familiar to people? Does that make it more difficult?
Every show is difficult. No, I don't think so, because if it's familiar, and this one is done a lot, there have been like four or five productions of it in London the past two or three years with major stars in it. Tom Hiddleston, Benedict Cumberbatch, the list goes on and on. I think the familiarity is fine because you see and hear it differently, and each time you see it, if you know it, yeah, you get a different viewpoint, a different aspect.
Well, the first show in the studio theater opens on October the 25th, and you're directing that one.
And I'm directing, yes. Yes, Heisenberg. Surprisingly written by Simon Stevens, who wrote Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. There's no mention of science in this piece. It is a remarkable, charming, and sweet story about the possibilities of relationship and love.
Two people meet sort of in a public place and things go from there.
They meet at St. Pancras Station. She's in her 40s. He's 75 to 80. He runs a butcher shop, doesn't get a lot of business. And she tracks him down. He really interests her. And so if there's something about the uncertainty principle, it is the uncertainty of relationships, the uncertainty of love, and how that manipulates in their relationship. It's moving. It's a very sweet play.
Well, now this is down in the studio theater,
yes,
which we talked about, and I'm assuming it's just a two-people show?
Just two people. Joniel Joplin is playing the 75-year-old. The woman is not cast yet.
Then November 29th, we're back up on the main stage with Miss Bennet, Christmas at Pemberley. Where's Pemberley?
It's the house. It's the mansion they live in.
Ah.
This is, you know, for all the Jane Austen fans, and there are many, and Jane Austen, you know, book clubs and so on.
It's a sequel, right?
Well, it's a sequel in a way, yeah. I mean, they want to get Miss Bennet married. All your friends from the various Austen books and the romances show up, and it's Christmas time.
Right, and this character, she's sort of overshadowed by her domineering sisters.
Yes, and they are going to get her married one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lovely, lovely story. Lauren Gunderson, who wrote this piece, wrote a play called I and You, which we did in the studio a couple of years ago. She also writes for House of Cards. Jen Thompson, who directed Angel Street for us, is directing this. It's just lovely. I mean, you read it and go, it's funny. The romance is funny. The whole story. It's a lovely holiday show.
I always like a musical, and on January 3rd, you've got one.
Yes. The Marvelous Wanderettes. And it's funny, the show has never been done in St. Louis before. It's got a great playlist. It starts at a senior prom. There are four women who are singing the hits of the mid-50s. And then the second act is a reunion 10 years later. And so the playlist shifts to the 1960s. So, you know, you go from Lollipop and
Mr. Sandman.
Mr. Sandman.
It's in His Kiss.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then in the second act, you're into Son of a Preacher Man and Respect, so it's just fun. It has no great cosmic meaning, and thought great in January in the dead of winter of St. Louis. You get out of your house and bop with the show.
Most of my favorite musicals have no cosmic meaning at all.
Oh,
right.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Then you're back to the Studio Theater on January 17th with a courtroom drama.
Yes, Faceless. Fascinating play. This is one of those moments where it landed on my desk before I was going on vacation. I read it really quickly, said, have to do this play. Based on a true story of a young woman in Chicago who has become enamored of ISIS and is one of those people that forms an internet relationship with somebody who she never sees on ISIS. And they go back and forth talking supposed philosophy about the organization. She is planning to go join them. In point of fact, in the real part of the story, it's mostly true, is she was arrested by the feds going down the jetway at O'Hare to go to Pakistan. Hmm. She was turned in by her father. This then goes to court. And so this is the courtroom drama. And so the prosecuting attorney is a practicing Muslim. And so there's great discussion between these two women about what the young girl thinks and what the prosecuting attorney is talking about, who has a real solid basis in the faith.
Sounds sort of heavy and timely, too.
It's not like it's heavy, but it's timely. Actually, the woman whose story this is, I think it's out of prison this year. So it's quite remarkable and compelling. That's one of those page-turner scripts. You can't believe what you're reading because it's based on a true story. It's very exciting stuff.
That's Faceless in the Studio Theater. Then on February 7th, it's back to the main stage with The Humans, which is about a topic I think everyone can relate to, both in good and bad ways, and that's family gatherings.
Family gathering. This family at Thanksgiving, played by...
Sounds like trouble right there.
It is trouble. There is lovely comic moments, lovely sweet family moments, and then there's a family angst.
Can you tell us what it is?
Well, I could share some of it. The apartment in New York where the people live, the gathering is, their family has come in from Pennsylvania for the holidays. And I'm not sure they approved this apartment, which is just outside of Chinatown, but it's a two-level mm-hmm. apartment. And so there's stress within the family. And there's a reason why it won the Tony for Best Play last year. Best Play last year.
Two more shows in the season, one in the studio, one on the main stage.
Right.
March 7th is Caught. And we hear a lot about fake news, and that somehow kind of works its way into this, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It is wildly difficult to explain this play. It starts with an art exhibition done by a Chinese dissident, and you learn more about the dissident, more about the art, and it is immersive in a way, and one of those that to describe it takes about 20 minutes. It's a very fast moving play. But what's real, what's not real, what's honest and what isn't. It's a play experience I've never had before here. It's a really special piece.
And the final offering is on the main stage. It opens on March the 14th. And the whole idea, I just seems so odd and I can't believe it. Corruption in the nation's capital, and I'm being facetious.
Yeah, born yesterday. How perfect.
Yeah.
Great classic comedy. About an industrialist, major industrialist, who goes to Washington with his ex-model girlfriend. And he's trying to influence senators and congressmen and push their money around, push his money around to get what he wants in certain bills. And his girlfriend begins to get educated about the government, about the country, and what he's doing. And this is Harry Brock and Billy Dawn, the two major characters. And so there's great funny interaction with them. And then The serious stories about the government. It might have a familiar tinge.
Right. Well, it looks like great variety this season, Steve. Yeah. Now, everyone would agree that St. Louis is a great theater town. So now that you're into your 51st year, what do you think makes the Rep stand out in a town that has such great theater to begin with?
The work on stage. I think it's the stories we're able to tell and the people that are telling them, both the actors on stage, the directors, and the design work, the physical production. I think it makes the work really special. And I think we bring a level of storytelling and professionalism that is just a major statement.
Well, I love it. Thanks for the peek at the season.
Thanks.
That's the Rep's Artistic Director, Steve Wolf, talking with contributor Steve Potter. The Rep's new season opened last night with The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.